chapter 30. A couple of verses there, verses 8 and verse 9. Praise God. Remember a great time of fellowship following here. Going to enjoy a feast of hot dogs and all of the good things that go with that, as you're familiar with the Villa's gourmet dogs, and then a celebration of our graduates with cake. It's going to be great. Remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me, everybody say, feed me, with food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain. So, there's a blessing that the Lord can provide. Amen. And I'm thankful that he can provide the food that we need. And I want him to keep feeding us. Praise God. The blessing that he has in store. You may be seated. Now, when the wise man wrote, food that is convenient for me, he wasn't talking about a convenience store. He wasn't talking about fast food. He was simply reflecting on, Lord, you can give me exactly what I need. And he was speaking naturally of regular food, and then he was speaking, I believe, in the spiritual as well. Now, flocks and fields are what the Lord put man in charge of. Abel was a keeper of sheep. Cain was a tiller of the ground. Both occupations, both supplied the needs for their family. And we know, of course, the misapplication of the sacrifice and worship. They had learned to do it the right way. And Cain made the poor choice of trying to do it his way. But nonetheless, the Lord established man with dominion. Dominion over the fish, dominion over the fowl, dominion over every living thing. And God provided tremendous abundance. You know, it's amazing that they're still finding species today. You would think everything would have been investigated, everything would have been discovered, everything would have been named. You know, the kingdom, phylum, class, and so on. You remember the mnemonic for that? Kings play chess on fiberglass stools. So, kingdom, phylum, class, and so on. Anyway, that's what God gave you dominion over. But there's trouble. Esau came in from the field. He'd been hunting all day, walking probably for miles, ate up his little lunch, drank his supply of water, and he is tired out. Returns to the camp, and here's Jacob tending the fire and fixing a meal. And it was red pottage, a pot of beans, if you will. Oh, it smelled good. And Esau approached the fire and spoke to his brother Jacob. He said, I am faint. And he made the request, feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint. Faint is mentioned twice in the account of Esau coming back to the camp. But what's amazing is in his mind and stomach, he went from being faint to the point of death. That's a pretty drastic transformation. I mean, your stomach can growl and your mouth can drool, but you're not going to die if you miss one meal. But that's what Esau convinced himself was going to happen. And no red flags waved, no alarms went off when Jacob made the offer of trading a bowl of beans for his birthright. He should have turned immediately and said, no deal, I'm not going to give that up. You see, a birthright meant blessing beyond material things. It meant position and favor with God. But Esau could only hear his stomach growling. He couldn't hear the potential of what God had in store for him. So he said, I'm at the point of death. What good is this birthright going to do me? And he traded his birthright for some bread and some stew. And Esau ate and drank, the Bible says, and he rose up. My, what a miraculous recovery. The point of death and a bowl of beans restored him. He rose up and he went his way. Now see, that's the problem. He went his way. He established his values. He determined his goals instead of recognizing what God had in store for him. There's a problem when you let feed me become the priority, whether it's food or excitement or entertainment or experiences that your society and culture is saying, oh, you got to have. You got to do this. You got to experience that. Don't let that old church hold you back. Don't let your parents force their religion on you. Well, now, go your way. Choose your way. Well, that creates problems. Moses led the multitude out, but the Bible says they had a mixed multitude there. They all came out of Egypt, but not all had Egypt come out of them. The difference now. And they cried out for the fish and the vegetables that they remembered back in Egypt. Never mind that the miracle of manna appeared every morning. Never mind that the Lord provided water out of the rock. They were just simply determined they were going to go back to Egypt. And quail that wouldn't quit became their lot and didn't turn out the way they thought. You can't let appetites rule you. Whether it's appetites for food or appetites for anything else except the Lord. Yeah. Amen. And make that number one. Daniel purposed in his heart, the Bible says. He purposed in his heart for a number of things. Yeah. That was simply his way of making decisions. He purposed in his heart. And the Bible talks about how he would not allow himself to be defiled by the king's meat. Not that it was rotten, not that it had terrible spices, not that it was unsuitable to eat. It had been offered to idols. And that's where Daniel drew the line. Can't do that. The Lord answered by fire, and that's who I'm going to serve. He knew the story. He knew the account. He knew the history. And he knew what God did for him. So, I'm not going to do that. Well, the man who was in charge said, what are we going to do? I'll be the one getting in trouble. If you start to show signs that you haven't been adequately provided for, you haven't had the proper nutrition, so my neck is in the noose here. Daniel said, tell you what, for 10 days, We're going to eat vegetables. We're going to drink this vegetable juice for 10 days. And then we're going to compare, and we're going to see who turns out better. Well, you know the story. 10 days went by, a week and a half, and they made the comparison of the young men, and Daniel and his colleagues were found to be 10 times better. I don't know how did they determine that. Did they do a body mass index, all that kind of stuff? I don't know. But it must have been obvious for it to be 10 times better than what the other young people were doing, chowing down at the king's table and just enjoying every morsel and every bit and offered to idols, or didn't matter to them. They were just sitting down enjoying. 10 times better. God's way is always going to be better. God's provision is always going to be better. Amen. You stop and draw the line, and God will make it better for you. When you choose to obey His word, and you choose to do what God wants you to do. Amen. Praise God. And thank the Lord, we can make that same choice as Daniel. Now, Jesus provided and taught a lot about food. The thousands being fed, 4,000, 5,000. In addition, there was women and children that were provided for. Incredible stuff. Amazing. And then some of the lessons that he included that revolved around food. Come, for all things are ready. The feast is prepared. And then there were those who made excuses and so on. And go out in the highways and byways, compel them to come in, because we've got this feast provided. And it's going to be amazing. Well, thank God there's a feast that we can come to, and all things are ready. Praise God. It's all provided for. The Lord talked about fathers knowing how to give good gifts. There's probably a lot of envelopes downstairs for those graduates. They're not going to have garbage in them. They're going to have last week's cabbage in it. Good gifts. You know how to give good gifts. You fathers, you know how to give good gifts. Your son asks for bread, you're not going to give him a stone. You ask for fish, you're not going to give him a serpent. Eels excluded. You ask for an egg, you're not going to give him a scorpion. How much more will your heavenly Father give? Praise God. I'm glad he knows how to give good gifts. I'm glad he knows how to pour out his Spirit. Hallelujah. Thank God that we can put our trust in the one who is doing good work. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank God that there's so much more that your heavenly Father can give. The third time after the resurrection, the third time the Lord appeared to them. He appeared as they were fishing. And he called out to them, and they came to shore. And there was a fire of coals and fish and bread. Oh my, what memories must have flooded their hearts as they remembered the fish being multiplied, the bread being multiplied, and they gave to the multitudes. And now here they are sitting in this little circle around the campfire of coals burning bright and red, and they're looking at the Lord, and he's alive. They saw him die, but he's alive. Praise God. And their awe and wonder as he handed them the bread and the fish again. Oh, our God knows how to give what you need. Amen. He knows how to bring his presence at the right time. He knows how to minister at the right time. He's always on time. Praise God. Thank the Lord. The trust that we can put in him. And so his church continued with the whole aspect of breaking bread. After they had the spiritual feast of being filled with the Holy Ghost and the fulfillment of the Word of God. After they had been baptized in Jesus' name and they had that wonderful experience of new birth, the Bible says they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, and breaking of bread, and prayer. Praise God. They knew the value of continuing in all of those aspects. The apostles' doctrine, fellowship, prayer, breaking bread. Amen. Thank God. The spiritual life is as common as eating every day and as extraordinary as the miracles that the prayers bring. Praise God. Amen. Marriage suppers are receptions, you know, are just all amazing. They're all good. Tradition was it was just snacks at one point. And our reception, we had snack things. So it was good to go to the restaurant after we got all finished with that and sit down to a big meal. But now it's common to have a big meal. Wow. Amazing stuff. What an incredible reception we had downstairs here just a few weeks ago. Praise God. Sterling ladies shined again. Amen. But the Lord says, there's a marriage supper that's coming. There's a marriage supper that people who are called to are going to be blessed. There's a marriage supper that the Lamb is going to rejoice over, praise God, and his wife hath made herself ready. Now, Psalm 23, David said, he prepares a table before me, and my cup runs over. Praise God. And that happens in a literal sense, in such a powerful way. Praise God. And the Lord knows exactly what you need to be sustained, to be uplifted, to be encouraged, to have the proper nutrition and the spiritual vitamins that you need. Praise God. And so we sit down at that table and we don't argue about the entrees and we don't say, how was this made and so on. Praise God. There's no problem with gluten and whatever else. Praise God. We just feast what the Lord has provided. Amen. And he blessed us. But this marriage supper, the angel told John, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And then he emphasized, these are the true sayings of God. Amen. In other words, you can mark it down. It's going to happen. There is going to be a blessing. There is going to be this marriage supper. Be glad and rejoice, he wrote in Revelation 19. The church has made herself ready. She's dressed in fine linen, clean and white. Now, we're not talking about the tablecloths. We're talking about what the church looks like. Clean and white. Pure and beautiful. Ephesians 5 says he's going to present to himself a glorious church. No spots, no wrinkles, no any blemish that would detract and deteriorate. Praise God. It's going to be powerful and wonderful. I'm thankful we can be blessed now with spiritual food that the Lord supplies. But oh man, when we get there, blessed beyond measure. Amen. Jesus said, no, it's interesting in the what we call the Beatitudes, that he would take seemingly negative situations and say there's a blessing here. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn. They shall be comforted. A seemingly negative thing that would have difficulty overcoming, but the Lord said, I'm going to bless. And so he said, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst. Well, that's a daily thing. If I were to hold the microphone my stomach area, and probably a few others, you would hear gastrointestinal sounds. Because we're hungry. Wish Pastor would hurry up. We want to get a hot dog. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst. That's a daily thing. No wonder he told us to pray, give us this day our daily bread. You go for a week, it's going to make you weak. Don't cheat yourself. Amen. Hunger and thirst after righteousness every day. Because the promise is you shall be filled. Praise God. So the wise man wrote, feed me with food convenient for me. Praise God. Be interesting to see what modern translations, how that's rendered. What do you mean, feed me with food convenient for me? I'm going to interpret it as both spiritual and natural. Sure. Both what we need for here and now and for what the Lord is going to bless us with to keep us going in Him. Yeah. Praise God. Hungering and thirsting after righteousness. Yeah. Jesus used those phrases a number of times, actually, in the Word. John 6:35, He said, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Is he talking about a Superman situation there? Are you just going to make it regardless of not having anything to eat or drink? No, he's talking about you will be satisfied. You will find everything that you need. You won't lack for anything. And you can keep coming back and be filled again and again, because that's how the Lord provides. Praise God. Come to Him. Believe on Him. And oh, what incredible results. But it goes beyond that. It goes into the eternal realm. Revelation 7:16. These are those who have come out of great tribulation. These are those who have had their robes washed in the blood of the Lamb. These are the ones who have been overcomers. Praise God. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. Praise God, as we're in that eternal realm, and the Lord's going to provide forever. Amen. Measures far beyond anything we'd even dream about. Glory to God in His presence forever. Hallelujah. A glorified body. He's able to transform you. He's able to subject everything unto Himself. He's able to make your body like unto His glorious body. Now, that's going to be interesting. He'd walk right through the wall. Yeah. Say, peace be unto you. Yeah. They were feeling anything but peace. But He showed up. Yeah. Praise God. And He's right there in the midst. Right there in the middle. Yeah. Right there where you can't miss Him. Praise God. Taking away fear, bringing comfort. Praise God. A glorious body. And then He can sit down at the fire with them. Say, here, have some bread. Here's a piece of fish. He took a bite Himself. Praise God. That's the kind of God that loves us and serves our needs and ministers to us. Praise God. I don't want to miss out on anything. I don't want to be distracted of some other offering that the devil has over here that not going to satisfy, not going to fulfill, not going to provide what we need. I'm going to stay with what God has for us. Praise God. I hope that's your desire. Go ahead and stand with me now, please. Praise God. I don't want to be so full that I forget the Lord. I don't want to be so lacking that I have to do things that aren't right. Lord, I need Your blessing. I need what You have for me. I need what You can provide. Praise God. feed me, Lord. Praise God. And oh, I'm so thankful that he does. A tremendous abundance, tremendous blessing, tremendous increase. How amazing that we can look to him and know there's much, much more that he has in store. Praise God. You've seen that there was a photo of a table set. The marriage supper of the Lamb. It stretches into the distance. The settings are exquisite. Very fancy with all of the glasses and the china and the silverware. And it's all set just so fine. And place after place, setting after setting, far into the distance until it disappears, you know, like railroad tracks. And we're going to be sitting there. Our loved ones are going to be sitting there. I am not going to miss it. Say that with me. I am not going to miss it. Let's come to the altar.